Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Tending to your cardiovascular health requires much more than simply lowering your cholesterol. Maintaining heart health requires a combination of diet and lifestyle choices, along with a smart regimen of supplementation. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Heart Health Protocol, my personal supplement recommendations to reduce your heart risk. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com for details. And for a limited time, you'll get 10% off and free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. That's DearHoffmanStore.com.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for downloading all of the Intelligent Medicine podcasts and your destination for topics of interest. Questions for me to discuss on this program is radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. So, this out of the British Medical Journal. Saturated fat does not clog arteries. Let me say it again. Saturated fat does not clog arteries. So, as we've been saying for years, since we know that the whole saturated fat theory has been debunked, I'm going to go into greater detail here. This is out of the British Medical Journal. Coronary heart disease is a chronic inflammatory condition, the risk of which can be effectively reduced from healthy lifestyle interventions. Okay. Coronary artery disease pathogenesis and treatment urgently requires a paradigm shift. Yes. Absolutely. Despite popular belief among doctors and the public, the conceptual model of dietary saturated fat clogging a pipe is just plain wrong. I'm going to say it again. Coronary artery disease pathogenesis and treatment urgently requires a paradigm shift. Despite popular belief among doctors and the public, the conceptual model of dietary saturated fat clogging a pipe, your arteries, right, is just plain wrong. A landmark systemic review and meta-analysis of observational studies showed no association between saturated fat consumption and one, all-cause mortality, all-cause death, and two, coronary heart disease. Three, death from coronary heart disease, coronary heart disease mortality, and four, ischemic stroke, or five, type 2 diabetes in healthy adults. So even as you're hearing some opposing research about, oh, dietary fat causes this and saturated fat causes that, they were even linking it erroneously to diabetes, it is not so. So this landmark systemic review, this meta-analysis of these observational studies are showing no association between saturated fat consumption and death, coronary artery disease, death from coronary artery disease, stroke, and type 2 diabetes. Similarly, in the secondary prevention of coronary heart disease, meaning somebody who's already suffered a cardiac event, like a heart attack or something, there is no benefit from reduced fat, including saturated fat on heart attack, myocardial infarction. There is no benefit from reduced fat, including saturated fat on cardiovascular or all-cause mortality. It is instructive to note that in an angiographic study of postmenopausal women with coronary heart disease, greater intake of saturated fat was associated with less progression of atherosclerosis, whereas carbohydrate and polyunsaturated fat intake were associated with greater progression. So, in postmenopausal women, carbs and polyunsaturated fats from vegetable oils and grains were associated with greater progression of coronary heart disease, of atherosclerosis. Now, British Medical Journal goes on to say, preventing the development of atherosclerosis is important, but it is atherothrombosis that is the real killer. Let me go on. The inflammatory processes that contribute to cholesterol deposition within the artery wall and subsequent plaque formation, which we know as atherosclerosis, more closely resembles a pimple. Most cardiac events occur at sites with less than 70% coronary artery obstruction, and these do not generate ischemia on stress testing. When plaques rupture, which they are comparing to a pimple bursting, coronary thrombosis and myocardial infarction, aka heart attack, can occur within minutes. The limitation of the current plumbing approach, you know, unclogging a pipe, which is what's been looked at and done for decades, to the management of coronary disease is revealed by a series of randomized control trials which prove that stenting significantly obstructive stable lesions fail to prevent myocardial infarction or reduce mortality. So all the angioplasties with the drug-eluting stents that are in place, that are put there in the presence of obstructive stable lesions, are still failing to prevent heart attack and to reduce death. Now let's talk about dietary randomized controlled trials with outcome benefit in primary and secondary prevention. Primary prevention meaning you don't have heart disease, you've never had a heart attack, this is prevention, real primary prevention. Secondary prevention means in those who already have established heart disease, who have already had an established cardiac event, a stroke, a heart attack, that's secondary prevention. So, in comparison with advice to follow a low-fat diet, a calorie-unrestricted Mediterranean diet, which is about 40% fat, supplemented with at least 4 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil or a handful of nuts, achieved a significant reduction in cardiovascular events in over 7,500 high-risk patients. Furthermore, the Lyon study, L-Y-O-N, France study, showed that adopting a Mediterranean diet in secondary prevention, meaning after you've had a heart attack, adopting a Mediterranean diet, which is about 40 plus percent fat, in secondary prevention, improved hard outcomes for both recurrent heart attack and all-cause mortality, despite there being no significant difference in LDL cholesterol between the two groups, comparing a low-fat diet and a Mediterranean diet. So, no significant difference in both diet groups in plasma low-density lipoprotein, which is LDL cholesterol. And it is the alpha linoleic acid, polyphenols, and omega-3 fatty acids present in nuts, present in extra virgin olive oil, vegetables, and oily fish that rapidly attenuate inflammation and coronary thrombosis. You know that the real Mediterranean diet, which is a higher fat diet, good fats, is very, very anti-inflammatory. So, both control diets in these studies were relatively healthy, which make it highly likely that even larger benefits would be observed if the Mediterranean diets discussed above were compared with the typical Western diet. Now, going on to the whole cholesterol hoopla that has been happening for the past few decades. These authors in this article in the British Medical Journal, Asim Malhotra, and he is a cardiologist who's done the work of debunking the saturated fat hypothesis of coronary artery disease. Rita Redberg and Pascal Meyer, these are the three authors of this article titled Saturated Fat Does Not Clog Arteries. Okay. LDL cholesterol risk has been exaggerated. Now, us here in the integrative world and here in intelligent medicine, we know this. Decades of emphasis on the primacy of lowering plasma cholesterol, as if this was an end in itself, and driving a market of, quote, proven to lower cholesterol, end quote, and low-fat foods and medications has been misguided. Selective reporting may partly explain this misconception. Reanalysis of unpublished data from the Sydney Diet Heart Study and the Minnesota Coronary Experiment reveal replacing saturated fat with linoleic acid containing vegetable oils increased mortality risk despite significant reductions in LDL and total cholesterol. American Heart Association is still touting that vegetable oils are healthy. They are not. Because what they did was they reanalyzed unpublished data from the Sydney Diet Heart Study, the Minnesota Coronary Experiment, and what that they revealed was that replacing saturated fat with these very pro-inflammatory vegetable oils increased mortality risk despite reducing LDL. So what good did it do to lower that LDL, right? That's what the study is talking about. That's why I'm discussing this with you today. I'm telling you about this today. So, a high total cholesterol to HDL ratio has been the best predictor of cardiovascular risk. Hence, this calculation, not LDL, is used in recognized cardiovascular risk calculations, such as that from the Framingham Heart Study, that very popular study. So a high total cholesterol to high density lipoprotein, HDL, is the best predictor of cardiovascular risk. A high total cholesterol to HDL ratio is also a surrogate marker for insulin resistance. We know that chronically elevated serum insulin is at the root of heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and obesity, which are pandemic in not just America, but moving throughout the world. It's insulin resistance, right? Now, what about that HDL? If you have insulin resistance, obesity, you likely have very high triglycerides. High triglycerides are an independent risk factor to heart disease. You've heard me say this time and again. Those high triglycerides suppress HDL. Those high triglycerides give you a smaller garbage truck. HDL is the beneficial cholesterol, and, you know, the supposed good cholesterol. We're still finding out more and more about HDL, even as I speak. But HDL is known as the garbage truck to carry out the bad stuff. Well, high triglycerides, which are consistent with obesity, which is consistent with too much insulin in the bloodstream, are known to suppress HDL. And that's why you want a higher HDL. If you want a better HDL, total cholesterol to HDL ratio, you need a higher HDL. How do you do that? Two ways, in this order. High fat diet. Exercise. Just like that. That's how you achieve higher HDL. Now, if you do all that without lowering your carbs, it's not going to help you that much. So, in those over 60 years, a recent systematic review concluded that LDL cholesterol is not associated with cardiovascular disease and is inversely associated with all-cause mortality. A high total cholesterol to HDL ratio drops rapidly with dietary changes such as replacing refined carbs with healthy, high-fat foods. What I just said. So, a simple way to combat insulin resistance, chronically high levels of serum insulin, and inflammation. Let me first talk about diet. How do you bring down insulin? Stop eating all those carbs that cause that your blood sugar to go up and thereby requires your pancreas to secrete all that insulin, which after doing its very important job of normalizing your blood sugar, your blood glucose, is still hanging out in the bloodstream, effectively putting your body in fat storage mode and propagating inflammation. So, lowering the carbs in your diet, increasing the healthy fats, your fatty fish, your olive oil, nuts, seeds, avocados, grass-fed meat, pastured butter, all of the above. These are all good healthy fats. So, what British Medical Journal is saying, simple way to combat insulin resistance and inflammation. Compared with physically inactive individuals, those who walk briskly at or above 150 minutes a week, that's 2.5 hours a week, that's 5 30-minute walks a week, can increase life expectancy by 3.5 to 4.5 years, independent of body weight. Even if you're overweight, even if you're obese, if you could do a 30-minute walk daily, Monday through Friday, or whatever days you want, 5 days a week, you can increase life expectancy by 3.5 to 4.5 years. Regular brisk walking may also be more effective than running in preventing coronary disease. And just 30 minutes of moderate activity a day, more than 3 times a week, significantly improves insulin sensitivity and helps reverse insulin resistance. For example, it lowers the chronically elevated levels of insulin that are associated with obesity within months in sedentary middle-aged adults. Exercise is like taking a medicine for making your cells more sensitive to insulin. It's a wonderful thing. So exercise is definitely a prescription that can be just as effective as medication in combating insulin resistance. This occurs independent of weight loss and suggests even a little activity goes a long way, which is terrific news, right? We're talking about walking here. Another risk factor, this is important, and this may be new for many of you listening, and we need to take more of these into account in doing our assessments. Another risk factor for coronary heart disease is environmental stress. Childhood trauma can lead to an average decrease in life expectancy of 20 years. Imagine that. Chronic stress increases glucocorticoid receptor resistance, which then results in failure to down-regulate the inflammatory response. Combining a complete lifestyle approach of a healthful diet, regular movement, and stress reduction will improve quality of life, reduce cardiovascular and all-cause mortality. So yes, it's about diet and exercise, but it's also about dealing with stress in your life. And a lot of that ongoing chronic stress could start in childhood with childhood trauma, childhood abuse, child abuse. I'm a big fan of psychotherapy. I'm a big fan of meditation, yoga. I'm a big fan of social support in dealing with your life stresses. It's very important to reduce stress. They even know that even in the blue zones, that kind of family and social support is critical in extending lifespan. So, British Medical Journal says it is time to shift the public health message in the prevention and treatment of coronary artery disease away from measuring your cholesterol, from measuring serum lipids, and from reducing dietary saturated fat. Hallelujah. It's time to shift the public health message away from lowering your cholesterol and decreasing your saturated fat, because it doesn't work. It's not true. Coronary artery disease is a chronic inflammatory disease, and it can be reduced effectively by walking 22 minutes a day and eating real food. Let me say it again. Coronary heart disease is a chronic inflammatory disease, and it can be reduced effectively by walking 22 minutes a day and eating real food. There is no business model or market to help spread this simple yet powerful intervention. That's why you're not hearing about this, people, but you will hear about this on Intelligent Medicine. There is no business model or market to help spread this simple yet powerful intervention. There is no profit to be made by some pharmaceutical company to spread this intervention, right? There is no profit. There is no market for this, but it is simple, powerful advice, and it can help you and your loved ones to reduce your risk factors of coronary heart disease. I thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.